What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of College News Fit to Digest. Every week, we pick a few news items relating to U.S. colleges and discuss it with our own Shweta Bagade. Alma Matters curates the news daily relating to U.S. colleges and makes it available on almamatters.io/news. We pick a few news items from that curated list and discuss it every week here in these podcasts. Now, without further ado, on with the podcast.
Hi, Venkat, how are you?
Good. You?
Pretty good. The summer's flying by, so just trying to enjoy it all.
Yeah, that's for sure. But nice hot days here, so.
Yeah, I hope everyone else is having a good summer.
I'm sure, at least in this hemisphere. Cool. So we have four topics for today. So I thought we'd kick it off with the first one about, you know, there's been a lot of noise about rankings, and Columbia University in particular had all kinds of issues with the U.S. News rankings. And I don't know, whatever sparked this, but now U.S. News has unranked them. And I didn't know they could do such things, but there you are. So what does all this mean? I mean, I'm not quite sure.
I'll laugh at your comment because it's their ranking. They can kind of do whatever they want. I think it goes to show, if I'm a parents and students, and even probably people who are like college advisors, school counselors, I wouldn't take these rankings as seriously as everybody seems to want to take them. Mm-hmm. They have some value in terms of, you know, maybe understanding admission rates, job placements, things along those lines, but that mm-hmm. is available regardless. It's not about the ranking. It's more about the data. And it goes to show you that schools can manipulate data just like any other person wants to manipulate data mm-hmm. to suit their needs. So if Columbia is trying to become, you know, chasing after the number one spot on this ranking, then they may have people who on their staff that are willing to maybe bend the rules a little bit. And then it makes you wonder of what else is happening behind the scenes that you're not aware of. So I think it goes to show you that it's important for people who are using these rankings to use them honestly as a very brief starting point. There's so many schools that are not in the top, you know, 30 or top 50 or even the top 100 that have amazing opportunities for different students. And it's important to look for those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And I think that the rankings do one thing, I think, which is it gives people a list of colleges to look at easily. Whereas if you say, here are 5,000 colleges, find a few or find 10 or 20, it becomes a much harder problem. And so whatever the reason, you're absolutely right. So hopefully this is yet another wake-up call to, you know, go find a good college that is a good fit for you rather than what others think about it.
Exactly. And to remember, you know, you make the comment about thousands of colleges. There's a lot of search engines for college mm-hmm. searches. So mm-hmm. you even put in a few, you'll narrow it down to a few hundred, and then you put in a few more and you'll narrow it down. So definitely it's another, the rankings are one way, but so are these search websites too.
Sure. The second topic is somewhat different. So, you know, a lot of talk about artificial intelligence. Everybody's talking about machine learning and, you know, in every aspect of corporate life. And so I guess, like everything else, there's a huge demand for these in when you get to college, and there's a shortage of lecturers. So I guess more students want to study the course and very few people to teach it. Familiar problem.
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past. This happened with CS in general. This article is interesting because I think it's acknowledging two factors, which are the fact that there aren't enough faculty, and then there are people who are not going into college academia to teach that subject matter. And I think those are both, issues for sure, because when you talk to students, majority of them are very much focused on, I want to get into this industry because that's where the jobs are. And I find this aspect of this industry interesting. I don't think a lot of students go into this thinking, I want to be a college professor.
Right.
So it then becomes on the college to show the value of becoming a college professor, like more of the theoretical, the teaching, being able to focus on aspects that industry might not be interested in because, quote unquote, you can't make money from it, but it has value. So I think there's a lot of things people have to look at and make some decisions about. But I think this is a problem, and to bring a light to it is important, but I think it'll correct itself once the colleges really start to just ramp up a little bit of the hiring a little bit faster. And as more students get involved, then they see the difference between working in industry versus working in academia. There's a lot of layers. There always is.
Sure. Okay. We'll leave it at that. So the third topic, sort of interesting variation of this trend. So Bowdoin expands their need blind to international students. So I guess, you know, the international students were never considered part of that, I guess, bracket or bucket. And now, you know, different colleges, I think Dartmouth did something similar. So they're starting to include international students into that pool. And it all makes sense because their enrollment is down last few years. And now suddenly the applications are up from international students. So I guess they want to make sure that that group stays engaged and actually shows up.
Yeah, I think, and it's also, I think the professor says it, the president of the Dean Admissions or Senior Vice President of Admissions says it well, you know, you want to welcome all students.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, teaching all of them because we do need that diversity no matter what. And being able to open it up gives people of other financial from other countries of financial constraints an opportunity to at least come and get educated in this country. So, I mean, I'd like to see way more schools do this, but it's getting there little by little.
The fourth topic is really about how to keep that college debt under control, or at least not run up a huge number. So there are a couple of related articles that I found. So what do you think of that? I mean, first the tips and then the larger issue.
Well, we always talk about this. I mean, it is important because we don't want to graduate with the $200,000 in debt, which you know, you hear these stories on the news and things along those lines. What I actually really like about this is, you know, I'm not a financial expert by any stretch, but I do mention to families, like, research your options. You know, don't always go for the thing that's right in front of you. Like this PLUS loan is a great example. Mm-hmm. The colleges always put that, whether you need it or not, they put it on your financial aid information page or portal or whatever. And people always think, oh, I should just do that. And not necessarily. I think if you look at maybe your bank options, if you have a credit union, there might be other alternatives that might be more financially a little bit more feasible or have better repayment conditions, whatever. And mm-hmm. it's important to do that research. I compared to a mortgage. I said, you wouldn't just sign any loan straight mm-hmm. away. You look for different mortgages. You look for different conditions. You look for different interest rates, repayment plans, things along those lines. This is the same thing. Yeah. So why aren't you doing that kind of research? Why aren't you paying that kind of attention to it? So I do like this. You know, and then of course you go through some of the tips. My favorite is, you know, the community college one. I'm like, always you're trying to save money. Community college is the best route to do that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead of paying for 4 years, you pay for two. A lot of community college offers significant discounts to community students, things along those lines. In our area, in the Bay Area, a lot of our community colleges offer it for free for the first mm-hmm. year, which is significant. Plus, yeah. living at home is another significant savings. And you still get to go to a four-year school in 2 years later and enjoy mm-hmm. it. So it's not like you're losing out on that experience. The department scholarships are always tricky because they're there. You have to research. You might have to apply. So it's a little bit extra work involved and things along those lines. I do like the working on campus. A lot of you think of resident assistants. Those you get free housing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a good chunk of money along with a lot of them also give meal plans along with that. Or even working in the dorms themselves, like they have a front desk working on campus. A lot of the food services require help. Their rec centers, workout facilities, all those places use students mm-hmm. to, you know, staff. So definitely look at that. And it's the easiest job to get to because it's right on campus.
Yeah.
Right. So there's no traveling and you're getting some money, things along those lines. This one I sort of laughed at. It says graduate on time.
Yeah.
That of course is tricky if you change your major or you are maybe doing co-op or internship that makes it you're in school a little longer, but then of course you're earning money, so it kind of balances it out. But or if you're struggling in school and there's classes you have to repeat.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't focus on that so much. Obviously, the goal for any student is to graduate in 4 years. But I think these other ones, like exploring the loans, looking at on-campus jobs, these are really the better options. I did like this one where it said, take a year off.
Yeah.
Right? There are rules around the gap year, so if you do decide to do that, make sure you talk to the colleges that you're looking at if you applied and got in right after first senior year in high school. Things along that, make sure you do that research. But it is compelling to maybe you should be taking time off, working, and using that extra year to figure out what's realistic financially as well. So
yeah,
I like this. I mean, I thought it was a great article. It's just a good reminder, has the highlights of, but my favorite one, I mean, I like them all, honestly, but the loan one is really important because it's so easy to go to that one that's right in front of you. And right. I remind families and students when I talk to them, like, yeah, it's there, but research, talk to your bank, look for other alternatives. There's definitely options. Even call the financial aid department at the college that you're looking to attend. They have resources too that they don't always publicize. So check them out. Give them a call. See what they can do.
Cool. So that's it for this edition. Thank you so much, as always.
My pleasure.
We'll talk again in a couple of weeks, I think. So till then, take care, be safe, have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with Shweta Bagade on this week's College News Fit to Digest. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to today's podcast. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College Matters.
Alma Matters.